Let's open in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time that we could come together under one roof as like-minded believers. Thank you that we are here, Lord, enjoying one another's company. We pray for the various requests that have been made known, and we also pray for those unspoken requests as well, Lord. Help me to do well for you. In your name, amen. You will notice I have paper. Thank you, Aunt Gladys. That printer has been absolutely wonderful. It's been quite a godsend, so I appreciate that very much. So first things first that I kind of want to get out of the way, I am not pointing fingers at anybody, so don't feel like I am. I will say that if you're getting convicted where I come from, that's a good thing, and I believe I said the same thing last time. I do feel that if it's in the Bible, I need to preach on it. So if it's in the Bible, which it is, I do think it is, and I think I've supported my argument pretty well for it, we're going to go through with it. So I am also going to say thank you, Sean, I think, for tutoring me in geometry, because that's now how my mind works from point to point to point to point. You all have him to thank, or not. I do think I've passed that with the very skin of my teeth. I'd have to ask Mom. I don't remember. But so all of that out of the way. It's always the hardest thing here to try and, you know, what am I going to speak on? I have to speak on whatever such and such Sunday, and you know months in advance, and then you always wait until the last 2 weeks to really kind of start thinking about this. And sometimes it's nice, maybe if you're working through a theme, like what Jordan and William and Cameron and basically all the guys kind of do, it's great and it's organized. For me, I'm not like that. I am kind of scatterbrained when it comes to what on earth should I speak on. It usually does come down to what I am observing or noticing or dealing with in my life at the given time. And sometimes, me being me, it's questions that I sit here and I ask myself. And it was ironic because yesterday, I forget what I was doing, but basically, I think I was getting ready to go to Aunt Ruth's memorial service, and Esther goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What do you mean? I'm getting ready to go." She goes, "You're talking to yourself." I said, "Yeah, I know. My lips were moving. I'm like, I'm having an argument up here, and I'm losing. And when you're losing your own argument, it's kind of hard, you know." And she goes, "Okay, I just wanted to make sure you knew." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." But one of the things, and it kind of happened on a Wednesday night, and I was very tired. Just got home from work. Some people can take a nap after work before they come into Bible study and feel great and refreshed. Not so with me. I take whatever was maybe an hour to an hour and a half nap before Esther's like, "You got to get up." And I just roll out of bed, and it's like you're kind of walking like a zombie, and you know, it does not help me at all, but I was very tired. And then I got to church here for Wednesday night, and I'm like, you know, why am I here? Why am I even here? It's like, I should be home sleeping. And it's not kind of the first time that I've actually asked myself that question. And depending on what point and what emphasis and where you say and how you say those words, it can mean some different things, right? Why am I here? Why am I here? Depending on where you put that emphasis. So that was the question that I sought to kind of answer both for myself, and I'm like, you know what, maybe these people, all you lovely folks, would enjoy hearing some of the answers that I came up with. And so with that, I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler alert, just in case you fall asleep halfway through this. It's because God wants you to be here. But I am going to back my statements up. So let's just real quick, let's turn to, I think we're going to go to Hebrews first. I did mark them out, but I did not take out the bookmarks from the last time I spoke, so there are two messages worth of bookmarks in my Bible. But let's go to Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 10, and we are going to start in verse 25. I'm sorry, verse 19. It says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So I'm going to ask that question again. Why are you here? Why are you here in this building currently with these people at this time? Is it for the good feeling, the fuzzy, you know, fuzzy feeling that you get? Is it for the good food, which it was very good today? Is it for the pleasant music? We have very good musicians here. Is it because you have fun singing? Is it because you want structure in your life? Are you here because your parents told you to, and you're a druggie? They drug you to church, and then they drug you back. I will take that answer, actually. That's a good thing. Well, all of these things just mentioned are great, all in all. They aren't the sole reason that you should be here. So first and foremost, what I want to say is that the body needs you here. The body of Christ needs you here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know I just read Hebrews, but we're going to jump around just a little bit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 14. It says this. We're going to go from 14 all the way to the end of the chapter. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffers with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Each of us has a unique role to play. And when we come together as a body, we function as God intended, supporting and encouraging and serving one another. I need you, and you need me, as weird as that sounds. Last week, Mr. Szczynski brought up something that kind of struck a chord with me up here. He had mentioned Uncle Wayne and the faithfulness that Uncle Wayne displayed in being here every single week. And that was kind of something as a little kid. Again, a lot of this is kind of coming from little Clayton, older Clayton looking at little Clayton and observing some different thoughts that I had then and versus now. And it's like, man, Uncle Wayne was here every single week. Rain, shine, sleet, snow. I was shaking his hand at the door every single week. And I was like, holy smokes, man. I think I did ask him once about it again when I was a little kid, and he kind of told me a little bit about one of the verses that he liked. And it was, I wrote it down here. Psalms 84 and verse 10. It says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand, and I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And that kind of stuck with you. You know, it's those little things that you hear that really kind of stick with you, and you don't really think too much about them when you hear them, but then as you get older, these things kind of work on you a little bit, and the Lord brings these things back to your memory. And he was always at the front door, always. Now, granted, this was little Clayton, so maybe there was a time when he wasn't, I don't know, but for little Clayton, he saw Uncle Wayne at that door every single Sunday when I got here, and Wednesday for that matter. And he was very faithful in that. Uncle Wayne would not have told you, I am the smartest man in the room. In fact, he probably would have said, I am probably amongst, as far as smarts and IQ go, I am among the bottom of the men in this room. I'm a hands-on kind of guy, as was Uncle Wayne, so in my opinion, he probably was a pretty smart dude. That's just how I saw him. So as he would sit here and he would do these little, what most people would consider these little things, coming in, making the coffee, preparing the bread in the cup, and shaking hands at the door, it showed me the faithfulness that he displayed. The faithfulness and the reliability, I guess, is another word for it. And I really like that, and that kind of stuck with me. So why are you here? The body needs you. And even those people who, you know, are they great big flashy speakers? Are they dynamic? Do they take care of a whole bunch of different things? Maybe not necessarily, but his faithfulness is he was here every single time that those doors were open, and he was there for you. Very encouraging as well. That was just one person that I decided to kind of pick on a little bit, mainly because he can't do anything about it right now, so that's a good thing. So the next question, I sit here and I ask myself questions in my head, like I said, and, why am I here? And then I ask myself, what is this time to me, this time that I can sit together either in these pews or up behind this pulpit? What is this time to me? So again, I'm going to come up with another story from my childhood. It says, I can remember a time when I was a kid and we were driving home one Sunday, and it was great when we lived on Lake Avenue, because then that was only a 15-minute drive or 10 minutes. Now, when we moved out to Brockton, it was a whole hour just about of time that Dad could grill you. And, Dad asked, so what did you learn in Sunday school today? I go, oh, no. Yeah. For me, and I was lucky because I had a whole bunch of siblings, so it's like you hope against hope that one of your other siblings that was in the same class as you spoke first so that you could, yeah, I learned what he learned. If Dad took that, sometimes it depended on how sincere you were, and please just add a little bit extra on to something, which is the wrong answer. I learned what he learned. Pro tip, another wrong answer. Don't say that the red and blue sour gummy worms are the best. Wrong answer again. So I think that I mentioned in my last message about distractions, but one of my pet peeves as a former college student now was that I'd walk into class and we'd be sitting there having this lecture, and these kids would be, they'd either be sitting there drawing, and it's like, you guys should be art majors, and they'd be sitting there drawing, or they'd be scrolling on their phone, or they'd have their laptop. They'd have their laptop, and they'd be online doing something. And what always went through my head was, we're getting tested on this in a couple weeks. Are you guys not paying attention, and why? Okay. Now, caveat to that, I understand that fidget spinners are a thing, and I understand that there are such things as active learners, and I understand all these different things where some people have to be moving and they have to be doing something. I've even had it where people are sitting there mindlessly doodling and can remember every word that was said. So I understand all that. but I think as a general rule, when somebody is paying attention, they aren't multitasking. So what is this time to me? But it's a time to pay attention. It's a time when the Lord's word is opened. The litmus test that I use for myself, and I try to apply everything that I speak on to myself first, and usually that's how and why I come up with my subjects, is because I see something lacking in my own life. I think, what if I had my hobby? What if I was sitting there doing my hobby, my favorite hobby, what would I be doing? Would I be sitting there scrolling through my phone, or if somebody was speaking on my favorite hobby or whatever, would I be sitting here drawing and doodling and basically not paying attention? For me, as of late, it's been amateur radio. So, you know, I think it's the coolest thing to take a spool of wire, some batteries, and a transceiver, and I can go talk to somebody in Alaska. Okay, that's awesome to me. Am I sitting there when I'm doing this stuff, not doing it, essentially? Not paying attention to it? Not usually. Usually, I am paying attention. So the litmus test that I also use sometimes is, I try to make it more personal, right? If somebody was talking to me, would I be sitting here doing this in front of their face? Probably not. If I'm having dinner with my wife, am I sitting here on my phone? Also, hopefully not. Unfortunately, sometimes. It gets so bad sometimes that I'll put my phone out on the dinner table, and it'll be face up. And I don't know if you can tell, but I got a whole bunch of notifications, and I got the time, and some of this stuff, I don't even know what it's for. You know, Zillow, maybe for houses, but it's like I'll be sitting there, and I'll have it face up. And then out of my peripheral, I just see it either could just be turned on because I don't know that the time changed. So it's like, okay, take it like this, flip it around. Now I do not have that distraction. Now my wife is my sole focus, or whatever it is that I am paying attention to, as I should be, what I would say. Now I make it even more personal, kind of stick that knife in there and twist a little bit for me, is what if the Lord was here? What if the Lord was here and he was talking to me and he was trying to tell me something straight from his word, and I'm just kind of saying, yeah, okay, whatever, sure, yep. I also know that taking notes is a thing. Okay, on Wednesday nights, it goes usually around the table there, Katie, Megan, myself, Esther, Miriam, and my father-in-law. And I'll be sitting there, and I'll be reading along and wherever the men happen to be. And it's like I'll just kind of catch out of my peripheral. At the start of the message, you've got Katie starting up here. Literally 5 minutes, and I'm not kidding, 5 minutes, and she's all the way down here. And I'm just like, how can you take that many notes in 5 minutes? I wish that I could do that. And sure, you know, I'm like, okay, she's drawing pictures. Come on, Katie. And like, no, those are all words. Like, she's actually taking notes. I'm like, holy cow, that is awesome. Good job. I wish I could do that. I'm not kidding. I really do. But yeah, find some ways to pay attention. That's kind of the one of the things I want to bring out in this is to pay attention. You know, this, if I were to somehow give you or tell you that, hey, the most important person in the universe is going to write a letter to you, and we're going to be reading that today, don't you think you would kind of perk up just a little bit? Well, okay, the most important person in the universe wrote you a letter. Let's kind of perk up when it's being read a little bit. Let's not draw or sleep. I've been there. Many other different things that way. So let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. I know I kind of went out of order just a little bit, but Hebrews chapter 10, and we already read it, but the one thing that, a couple different things that I wanted to draw out of this portion of Scripture, in verse 22 through 25, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Verse 25 is something that one of those verses that I really kind of hold to. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Notice that work, two words there. I want forsaking. Do not forsake. Do not give up. Do not forego the assembling of ourselves together. And I do think that means on a Sunday morning. We knew a family out by us that kind of basically did just that. They were hurt by different churches. They didn't agree with different things in different churches. So they basically just stopped going. And they are tossed about kind of with every wave of doctrine that comes by. Every tiny little thing, ooh, this looks good, this looks good. They have no basis. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together from a doctrine standpoint. Also ourselves, not people just coming together, but ourselves. We are one body. Okay, I need you, like I said in the beginning, I need you just as much as you need me, probably more so. When I come to church, sometimes I might be in a terrible mood. You know, again, I might not have gotten a whole lot of sleep. Do bear with me, because I hear that when kids come along, that is part of the course, is that you do not sleep. If I perhaps had a bad week at work, perhaps something else happened, I may have had an argument with my wife, who knows. I also hear during marriage that happens as well. Do pray for me. No, I'm kidding. She's wonderful. That was not meant to be a dig at all. What's that?
You keep losing all arguments.
Sometimes, yeah. But ourselves, together. As the manner of some is. So one of the speakers that I was listening to for this, or what was it, one of the commentaries, I don't remember, but they said, as the manner of some is, just by the simple fact that that's in there means what? That there was some people that were doing it. It's something that we should definitely watch for. And then, but exhorting one another. So you've got the kind of that switch there, that change of direction. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but the opposite, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Building one another up. I think it's great that Cousin Joy is now cancer-free. I think that's awesome. And now that on Tuesday, I love that she gave us the time frame for it, where we can go, and she's going to ring the cancer bell, or the cancer-free bell, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's going to be tons of fun for her, and it's going to be awesome for us, and I say let's go and exhort her and build her up over, because she's had quite the road to hoe as of late. And much more as you see, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, what's the other verse where it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual melodies? Okay, we come up here and sing a new song nearly every week, speaking to one another in these different psalms, encouraging one another with the different lyrics that we have, as well as the different scriptures. Let's build one another up in that sense. And then as you see the day approaching, what day? You know, as you see that day coming, when that trump's going to sound and we are going to be called up to him, and or when you pass away. We just had Aunt Ruth called home back in July. We just celebrated her life in September, or, you know, yesterday. You don't know. You don't know when. There was also, pick it. You pick the time frame. You pick the person that was, you know, taken before their time. You don't know when you might be called home. For us that are Christians, it's probably a little uncouth, but I can joke around at a funeral. You know, my dad's funeral, even Aunt Ruth's funeral, I wasn't necessarily shedding tears so much as I was like, man, that's got to be cool for her to spend her entire 89 years serving the Lord, or however old she was. I didn't quite catch it, but her entire life serving the Lord, and then, like Jordan said, also she finished well, and she continued on trying to do this, and then to all of a sudden be at her Savior's feet. That's got to be the most awesome thing in the world. And I remember thinking this as well with Uncle Pat, when Uncle Pat passed away. Now, granted, it was April 1st, so we're all like, yeah, right, sure, Uncle Pat, very funny. No, he actually was called home, and it does still hurt. It does. And the same thing when we talk about Dad. It does still hurt sometimes. But you know what? I would often talk with Dad, and he would say, you know, please don't wish me back. You know? And he'd say something along the lines of, I'm up in glory. I no longer have diabetes. I got the best body I ever had. And I don't want to go back. Yeah, okay, great. It'd be great to see you guys, but don't ever wish me back. Don't do that to me. Like, don't worry. I'm pretty sure that's impossible anyways. So But yeah, I don't think that they would ever want to come back. I think that they are thoroughly enjoying being at their Savior's feet and worshiping him there. So again, I'm going to kind of bring it full circle back to that original question. You know, why are you here? Why are you here tonight or this morning or even on a Wednesday night possibly sitting in these pews or in these chairs as the case may be? I hope it's learning about the Lord, and I hope it's encouraging as you sit there to go out and to be a better Christian and be a better follower of Jesus Christ. Now, you might be sitting here looking at me, and Murphy's Law, right? He's alive and well. Next Sunday, I'm sure I'm probably going to be puking my guts out, and I'm going to have to miss Sunday, right? Yeah, okay. Way to go, Clay. Nice job. It's like, yeah, okay. I am human as well, like I said. So these are some things that I kind of thought were lacking in my own life. Like I said, I'm going to preach on them and kind of show you where I think that they're found in the Bible. Be here. Even if you're in a terrible mood, even if you're whatever, not feeling the greatest within reason, be here. You know, there have been times when even if you don't think, oh, I'm not going to be an encouragement to anybody, maybe you're going to be the one encouraged. And I hope we can all do that as well. One last thing, and I didn't find a verse for it in the Bible, but it was an analogy that Dad often gave, and usually when we were sitting around the campfire, he says, hey, what's in there? And it's like, well, you know, wood and flames and whatever else is there. And he says, yep, and look at those coals. He goes, check this out. You take the coal out with the tongs or what have you, and you set it off to the side, you watch it for about 5 minutes, and what happens? It grows cold. It is no longer alive and vibrant and firing. It grows cold. When you put it back in with the other coals, it gets alive and vibrant and on fire again and is capable to be used for what its intended purpose was. In the youth group's case, hot dogs, hamburgers, and sausages. Good stuff. So I hope you've thought a little bit about why you're here specifically. This is probably just review for most of you, but it bared repeating for me. So let's close in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this body, Lord. Thank you for this group of believers that meets here at Springbrook. Please help me to be an encouragement to them, and thank you for their encouragement to me, Lord. Help each one of us to be living for you each and every day. In your name, amen.